Live from Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. The one and likely only debate for California governor took place this weekend. Governor Gavin Newsom and Republican State Senator Brian Dahle sparred over differing views of moving the state forward. Whether it moved the needle is an entirely different question, given it aired Sunday afternoon competing with the NFL. It also re-aired Monday in place of Insight. The gubernatorial debate was moderated by our colleagues at KQED in the Bay Area. Cap Radio Politics reporter Nicole Nixon was there and joins us with analysis. Good morning, Nicole.
Good morning.
So let's start with some context. It wasn't even guaranteed that there would be a debate this midterm. How did we get here? Why the location? Why the time?
Yeah, about a month ago, it was not clear whether these two would have a debate. Newsom did one debate 4 years ago when he was first running for governor, and it was a similar thing. This aired on the radio on KQED. It was like 10 a.m. on a Monday, which was also a federal holiday. So a similar story this time, Sunday afternoon debate, overlapped with 49ers and Chargers games, as you mentioned. So it wouldn't be a surprise if most Californians were not tuning into this on a Sunday afternoon. And this debate may have been at an inconvenient time. It may not have even changed anyone's mind about who they're going to vote for. But I'm a firm believer that debates like this are good for democracy. They're good for voters. It's good to get candidates on the record and ask where they stand on certain issues. It's also an opportunity to hold elected officials accountable and have actual policy debates on the merits of policies.
And I share that as well, Nicole. So for those who aren't familiar with State Senator Brian Dahle, who is he and what led him to running for governor? Because he wasn't part of the recall last year.
Right. Brian Dahle is a state senator. He represents this sprawling rural district in Northeast California. He's been in the legislature for 10 years. In his campaign for governor, he's talked about the high cost of living in this state, increasing energy prices and the threat of blackouts. Crime is a big thing among Republicans in the state. He also is hitting persisting problems like homelessness, drought, and mega fires on the campaign trail.
What I found was interesting with this debate is there weren't strict time limits when it came to responses. Was that a successful approach?
You know, I think it allowed candidates to respond to each other, and it certainly allowed for a few deep dives on issues like this debate over gas prices and whether pausing the gas taxes Republicans are calling for would actually reduce what Californians are paying at the pump. So I think it did work in this instance.
Given you were there, you took this all in, you know, getting a broad brushstroke from you. When you left, what was the big overall headline or takeaway from this debate? Was it consistent with what you expected going in, or were there some surprises?
You know, I've covered many of these debates where there's one candidate, Newsom in this case, who has a huge advantage just because of the name recognition, the incumbency, the fact that Democratic voters outnumber Republicans 2-1 in California. And debates like this can be very boring. But this debate was not as boring as I thought it might be. They were very cordial. They weren't afraid to go after each other, though. And you definitely got those moments. And again, they did get pretty deep on certain issues, which is always good.
Yeah, you touched upon gas prices. There was so much back and forth over gas, understandably. I mean, the causes for these extraordinarily high prices, as well as solutions, claims, criticism, literally left and right, each saying that that's not true to the other candidate. So get us through all of that noise. What were the main arguments they were making?
Sure. So the main arguments on the gas prices and gas tax, Brian Dahle's arguing that gas prices are high in California because of state government taxes and regulations, which is true to some extent. We do have the highest gas tax in the country. It's about 53 cents per gallon. There are additional environmental fees on top of that. But energy experts say that on average, that doesn't fully account for how much higher the average gas prices are here in California. They're saying there's about, you know, 50 to 70 cents per gallon extra that cannot be accounted for. It's also sometimes called this mystery surcharge. And energy experts say that that 50, 70 cents is likely just going directly to oil companies as profit. And that's the point that Newsom was making. He's arguing, and I'm quoting here, that oil companies are ripping you off. And he plans to call this special session in December if he wins election. after the election, and he wants to have lawmakers pass what he's calling a windfall tax, which presumably would tax that profit and return it to taxpayers. But Newsom has not given much detail other than that about how this would actually work and whether it would work. So that was a lot of debate time spent on those two points.
Yeah. And State Senator Dahle joined Republican lawmakers in wanting to suspend the gas tax.
Right.
Right. Homelessness obviously is an issue that has not. It's just grown despite unprecedented investments. During the debate, Newsom said, you know, $15.3 billion has been devoted to this. Did they get beyond talking points to actual solutions?
On this issue, it was pretty limited to talking points. Dahle said that homelessness is an example of an issue where the state's Democratic leaders have, as he says, just thrown money at a problem. But it's like worse than ever. The number of unsheltered people in California is growing. And Newsom said that it is unacceptable. He also mentioned that when he took office 4 years ago, there was no statewide plan for homelessness, almost no money. And he's talked about things like his Home Key project, which converted hotels into housing during the pandemic. He talked about how new funding for local governments would come with certain accountability measures to ensure that cities are working to house people. But those are all talking points that he's used over the past couple of years.
Yeah. The governor also led with Prop 1. And so let's get to the topic of abortion. Senator Dahle is pro-life. So I want you to help unpack a couple moments surrounding his views, because they did go back and forth about this. Mm-hmm. I was kind of left unclear with how he would use his authority as governor by veto or executive order to restrict or ban funding and policies surrounding abortion. Let's listen to his response.
And I would absolutely take that out of the budget.
There's money. There's money in the budget. Reproductive services. Not all for out-of-state travel.
No,
right.
So,
line item all.
Right. I will absolutely fund reproductive services, but I am not going to fund out-of-state abortions.
What about in-state abortions?
No, I will propose that, yes, I'm pro-life. I don't think we should. Reproductive services, absolutely.
So you'll take out of the budget any help with women.
Right, I have to get that through the, no governor has full control of the budget. He has to work with the legislature, and I'll work with the legislature to put a budget together that will work.
He's kind of like on a verbal tightrope there. What did you get from his response?
Yeah, so to back up, the legislature approved about $250 million for expanded reproductive services after the Supreme Court decision overturning Roe versus Wade. A few things here. He is right that the governor does not have full control over the budget. The legislature passes it. The governor can do line item vetoes, but the legislature can, you know, overrule vetoes. He definitely was on a tightrope. Once that money leaves the state and it goes to like reproductive providers in the form of grants, the state doesn't really have control over how those groups use it. And so having him saying that he would approve money for reproductive services, but not abortions. Abortions are reproductive services. I don't think that, you know, the state can give money with those kinds of strings attached.
Mm. Yeah. And that's probably explains why he gave the response that he gave, which is kind of convoluted. You know, Dahle also didn't refute Governor Newsom's claim, and it was pretty bold, that he is against abortion, even in cases of rape and incest. And we're going to listen to a really extreme scenario that the governor posed.
What my opponent believes is some 10-year-old that's raped by her father should be forced to bear her brother or sister. His position is extreme.
And what surprised me was Senator Dahle was silent in his response. There was even like a moment of pause to see if he would say something. So is his stance, in fact, no abortions, no exceptions?
I mean, he did not come out and say, yes, I do believe that. But like you said, these debates give candidates an opportunity to get on the record and make their positions very clear. And he did not come out and refute that. So,
yeah. Senator Dahle also took on Prop 1, which is voters are going to vote on come the midterm. It would put the right to abortion in the state constitution. He claimed that it would extend the right to abortion beyond what is currently allowed, which is within, you know, the first 6 months, the first two trimesters, to a, quote, a minute before birth. Is that correct?
Well, before we get to that, the fact is that nationally, the vast majority of abortion procedures, 99%, occur before 21 weeks. And doctors say that abortions that happen later in the pregnancy are usually because of severe medical complications. And they're usually a pregnancy that is wanted. So that person is often not happy or devastated to be ending that pregnancy later. Currently, state law does outlaw abortion past the point of fetal viability. That's usually around 21 to 24 weeks. After that, abortion's only legal when it would risk the life or health of the pregnant person to continue with that pregnancy. Opponents of Prop 1 are arguing as dahlias that that would overrule state law and open the door for abortions way later. Authors of the bill say it would not change state law.
Okay. Well, that thank you for that context. A good amount of time also devoted to climate policies, water, drought, phasing out fossil fuels. I mean, the list was long with this. What was the big message you took away from their views?
There was a big, large debate about drought and water storage. Republicans and Daly in this debate were hammering Newsom on, you know, not creating any new reservoir water storage in the last 4 years. And there was actually a moment about 40 minutes in where they were debating this. And I thought that it really encapsulated both candidates' strategies in this debate, which is where Newsom was kind of painting Daly as using talking points or being a lawmaker that opposes policies passed by Democrats but doesn't offer any alternative solutions. And then Daly was talking about Newsom just kind of throwing money at a problem and hoping it goes away. So let's listen to this moment.
You're just laying out talking points, but no substance. The form and substance only a fog in terms of the dilution of reality and facts that you are promoting here today on these critical topics for the people of the state.
Senator Daly, quick response, and then I want to move on to homework.
I want to just say the dilution of facts is he keeps talking about the party I represent. That party hasn't been in hasn't had control in this state for almost 30 years, Governor. Why are all these problems not fixed? Because your policies are horrible. Californians know it. At the end of the day, you talk, you throw money, Californians are suffering, and you haven't solved the problem.
Yeah. Where did Senator Daly have the greatest edge?
You know, inflation is the top issue on voters' minds right now, and it is a global problem. There's really not much elected officials can actually do about it, but the cost of living has been an issue in California for a long time. I think it was effective for Daly to hammer that, but I think he could have presented more detailed ideas about, for example, whether cutting certain regulations would result in, like, a certain number of savings for families.
Where was the governor at his strongest?
I think Newsom had clearly brushed up on Daly's voting record throughout his time in the legislature. And I think it was effective because he could use that voting record against Daly and dispute some of the claims he made. Like, he did this with his climate package, Newsom's climate package. When Daly said that he believes climate change is a problem and we should, you know, fix it, Newsom could say, well, then why didn't you vote for these bills that would have reduced fossil fuel emissions that I proposed.
Did they agree on anything?
There was one thing at the very end they did agree on. It was pretty unexpected. Newsom was asked about whether he'll support recommendations from this task force that's currently studying potential forms of reparations for Black Californians. And Daly said he supports that task force. I looked up his vote. He did vote for it. And he also supported a bill Newsom recently signed that returned land in L.A. County known as Bruce's Beach to a Black family that had been taken from nearly 100 years ago.
You know, Daly also repeatedly said from the beginning that the governor is running for president. I mean, that was a big talking point that he hit home. Governor Newsom committed on the record to serving a full 4-year term if reelected. How much weight do you put behind these statements?
I thought it was smart for Daly to get that in right at the beginning. Newsom's aspirations for potential higher office are a huge point of speculation right now. So, yes, Newsom did commit to completing the 4-year term, but he really didn't say much beyond a yes. And since this is the subject of so much speculation, I'm a little surprised that he didn't do more to try to put some of those rumors to rest.
Yeah. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. If you're just joining us, we're talking with Cap Radio politics reporter Nicole Nixon, providing analysis following what will likely be the only gubernatorial debate between Governor Newsom and Republican State Senator Brian Daly. Overall, did you have to do a lot of fact checking, or were their claims overall straightforward and truthful?
I did a few fact checks. There were some claims about campaign donations. Newsom accused Daly of taking hundreds of thousands of dollars in campaign donations from big oil companies, and Daly said he hadn't received a cent. He has, in fact, received at least one $20,000 donation from an oil and gas company and thousands more from people employed in that industry. So neither of them were correct on that one.
Following the debate, there were press conferences, especially with the governor. What was discussed at the press conference from Newsom?
Yeah, one thing Newsom said is that he called on Kevin DeLeon and Gil Cedillo, the two remaining members of the L.A. City Council caught up in this scandal about racist remarks, called on them to resign. He said he initially did not call for any of those people to resign, but has since changed and said that he thinks they should resign now. He said he wanted to give them space at the beginning, but now says it's time.
You know, I'm following the president as well. Senator Dolly, did he hold a press conference after?
He did. He came out. He answered questions from reporters. He mentioned in the debate that he's hosted over 100 fellow state lawmakers in his district over the past decade. And afterward, he talked a little bit more about that. He's invited Newsom out to go fishing in his district, but the governor has not taken him up on it yet. But he's talked about how that kind of across the aisle relationship building has helped him as a lawmaker, and talked about how that's a strategy he would bring if he was elected governor.
Finally, Nicole, this is a final stretch of a political marathon for you. So you're full steam ahead. You're probably not even focusing on the debate anymore because you have another debate to focus on. You're going to be co-moderating this one on Thursday for the newly drawn, just massive Congressional District 3. This is really a part two for you following a debate that you co-moderated in the primary. It's going to be airing on KCRA, of course, Cap Radio on Thursday. Remind us who the candidates are and what stands out to you about this race.
Yeah, the general election candidates are Republican Kevin Kiley. He's currently a member of the state assembly, been in that seat since 2016. And he's become a vocal critic in recent years of Governor Newsom, his administration, and many of these policies approved by Democrats in the legislature. He's facing Democrat Kermit Jones, who's a Navy veteran and a doctor. It's an interesting race because, like you said, it's a new district. The boundaries are very different, and it's huge. It goes all the way from Lake Tahoe to Death Valley. So we'll be asking the candidates about important issues. That debate is Thursday at 7 p.m. here on Cap Radio and KCRA.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, Nicole.
Thank you.
That is Cap Radio politics reporter Nicole Nixon. Up next, the affordable housing crisis is tough enough, but for LGBTQ plus community, especially seniors, it's even more difficult. We'll talk about one solution that is already underway in Sacramento. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, Cap Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.